Huh? Shabbat shalom to all of you. Hallelujah. Last week we were talking about divine reversal, and we got to finish up because I don't want to leave it just hanging there. But in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, Moses writes, "The Lord your God turned the curses into a blessing to you." I like that. Right there. The Lord your God. Now he's talking to the Israelites, but he's talking to us this morning. The Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing to you. And let's finish it. Because the Lord God loves you. The Lord God loves you. I mean, I say it all the time, but I want to really let you know, God really loves you. And we know, what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
But that right there is divine reversal. That is divine reversal. Now, the book of Esther is one of divine reversal, which saved a nation. So we're talking divine reversal. I knew we need some clarification. Divine is of relating to or proceeding directly from God. You have divine inspiration. You have divine love. We pray for divine intervention. We have a divine Savior. And we have divine favor. So we're going to get into favor. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. I brought it just in case, and yeah, because I want you to understand that. Okay. Now, this is from my partner letter from Kenneth Copeland. And he writes in here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Because when I read it, it jumped out at me. Because of what I've been ministering here with favor. It says, okay, this is the Amplified Classic Edition, my brother. "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with him, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. By that word and decree, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself." Favor with himself. "Nothing counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor." Vic, restoration to favor. Verse 20. "So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of divine favor." It's something you can grab hold of, divine favor. What is divine? It's from God. "Now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, we who knew no sin, so that we, and through him, might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be approved and accepted, acceptable, and in right relationship with him by his goodness. But that scripture has jumped out. There's so much about favor there, because we are missing what we're talking about. We'll get into it, but that was the point. I didn't know when, but that was when the Holy Ghost said, read that. Hallelujah. So we know divine favor is something proceeding directly from God. Favor comes directly from God. Now, but we're talking about divine reversal. Reversal, and it means an act or the process of reversing. Duh. Yeah. Okay? All right? Now, reversing means to turn around, to turn completely about in position or direction, opposite or contrary to a previous or normal condition. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Divine reversal is directly from God, turning and changing people, situations, circumstances around for the good. And God is good. And all the time, God is good. Our God, the God of all creation, is in the business of performing life makeovers on a scale that extends beyond wardrobes, makeup, hairdos, cosmetic dentistry, physical fitness, and plastic surgery. See, he changes from the inside out. When you look at these extreme makeover shows, does it last? Mm-hmm. But now in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the NASB 1995 edition, to be exact, says, this is wisdom for you. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. God focuses in on our hearts, because, see, it is the wellspring of our life. And he knows that. And I hope you're learning that more and more and more. But what is incredible is God can change our hearts. I'm telling you, he can change hearts. We heard testimony unto that this morning. Once heart change occurs, our thinking changes, words change coming out of our mouth, behaviors and lifestyle are changed. Never the same. Yeah, what's that? Never the same. Our Bible has many stories that illustrate this inside-out transformation. The murderous terrorist Saul of Tarsus becomes God's chosen vessel in the Apostle Paul, who pens 2/3 of the New Testament. The lowly shepherd boy, David, is one with the courage to take down Goliath, a 9'9" giant, and he becomes God's most beloved king. And then he takes a timid orphan girl, and he chooses her to become Queen Esther. And she risked death to save her people from annihilation. See, these changes are not merely tweaks or minor adjustments. They are a 180 degree change. Divine reversals are supernatural turnarounds that move us in the opposite and positive direction. In the book of Esther, we see where her heart was changed and strengthened, giving her the boldness to approach the king. For she knew in her heart that she had the favor of God, and she could count on it to give the favor or get the favor from the king. She knew in her heart that she had favor with God. So that's why she went and was able to go to the king. And all she had to do is walk by the outer court. And you don't think that was God saying, yeah, that's what it was. None of them God moments that you don't miss. Because you don't make an appointment. You made an appointment to see the king. You just didn't walk out there. No. Yeah. This is what Christ does for us. And he's been there. He's done that. I won't get ahead of you, Holy Ghost. I know. Now in Esther chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. What did she find?
Favor.
The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." That is favor. "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." Now how was she going to spend her favor? Not on herself, but as directed by God to save her nation. Remember, that favor, she called upon it, but did she use it for herself? But wait till we get to the end of the story. See, I believe, as I said last week, that favor is currency to be used by people here on earth. As we spend our favor, we are given answers to those things we seek. We see doors opened and opportunities afforded to get you back into the jail. It's called favor. These are spiritual powers that bring about natural breakthroughs. We need to understand that there is a difference between having favor and, as I said, spending favor. Right, Tim?
Sir.
Yeah. See, you can have money and not spend it, or not spend it wisely. See, it's time that we recognize that we have been given amazing favor through our relationship with God. In the New Testament, the words grace and favor come from the same Greek word, charis. Charis. So with that in mind, now you listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It says to come boldly before God's throne of grace. But see, it is far more than just forgiveness of our sins there. It's also a throne of favor. It's a throne of charis. Psalms 5:4-8:5, meaning grace, favor, graciousness, joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, goodwill, benefit, loving kindness, gifts, rewards, strength, and increase. Charis. Which we can come boldly. Boldly. Pharisia. Pharisia. 3954. Meaning with free and fearless confidence, with freedom and boldness of speech, open honestness, blunt, with cheerful courage. What do you think of that, Anthony? Mm-hmm. Come boldly. Yes. To lay hold of mercy. Eleos 9:9-6. Meaning kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. And to find help. Biothesia. 16:56. Meaning kindness. It's a military term. It's a military term. A call to battle to help someone who is struggling in a time of need. Makes that scripture a little differently when you understand all the parts of it. We come boldly before God's throne of grace and favor and ask boldly for what we need for ourselves and for others. And what again is that? That's called intercession. That's where we intercede for someone. If there ever was a time for believers to need favor, that time is right now. And I think you all agree with me on that. We need God's help, not only in our nation, but in the nations around the world. We need help in our families. We need God's help to do the work of the kingdom. And what is that? To see the harvesting of the souls. We're looking for a billion. And we stay positive and keep confessing we're going to get a billion. Reinhard Bonnke, one man. He's attributed to an actual, they know it, 1 million. One man. But a passion to make sure he got the word out. Each number you get adds to the harvest. Don't hold nothing back. You get off in your little group over here and you pray it to family gatherings and you pray for all of them that are sitting there going, oh, okay. And after time, guess what? There won't be no more of that. They'll be saying, hey, brother, you got any more water? And then you sit around and you got to put your hearing things in because you got that crush going. You guys, you're crushing the bottles. Hallelujah. You know, in the process of divine reversal, though, in the story of Esther, God began to set Haman up. And it was because he wanted to expose all of the wickedness that this man had done. So that the only option for the king would be to put him out. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. He destroyed his family. So right now we're watching the exposure continually that's happening around us. More and more God is uncovering corruption, wickedness, and these other plans from the dark side, as I'll say. From the dark side. But we are not to be afraid. We are to be interceding in heavy intercession. And what are we supposed to do? Be making new decrees and coupling them with our prayers. We can rewrite the decrees. And we can seal them with a signet ring that we have all been given. Was that not a revelation? You all have that signet ring. You understand that? You have been given authority. Sometimes, as the song said, sometimes we got to dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise him when it makes no sense. Praise will still the enemy and the avenger. Yes. Adversaries. They call it, you know, he says it in his word. That's Psalm 8:2. America is being saved. You understand that? We are in the process of it being saved. Everybody said it shall be. Well, it is being saved. I think it's time we start confessing that it is being saved. Not putting it so far out there. Let's take care of it right now. No one put things off in the future. We operate in the now. God operates in the now. See, even though Haman was executed, him and his boys, his decree of destruction remained. And this process was not just about destroying the opponent, but it was also about cutting off the entire scheme he had set into motion. In other words, Haman's decree of darkness still had legal ground to perpetuate the curse. It wasn't over yet. The heavyset lady didn't sing. When Queen Esther approached the king again, and she wanted to have that decree revoked, what did he say? He said, "You yourselves." Now, I'm Esther 8:8, so you know where I'm coming. He says, "You yourselves," which meaning you and Uncle Mordecai, write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the name of the king. And seal it with the king's signet ring, which the king had also given to Mordecai. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Selah for a moment there. Remember, you have the signet ring. Well, what decrees did Esther and Mordecai write? Well, it's in chapter 8, verse 11. See, they wrote a decree authorizing God's people to fight back, is what they did. They were allowed to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or providence that would assault them. And the scripture reads, by these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of people or providence that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. That means to take their stuff. It hasn't been revoked to this day. I don't see it in Scripture. Israel has the right to do what they're doing. They didn't start it, but they will finish it. But here you say, wow, that doesn't sound like, you know, Jesus' admonition to us to say, you know, turn the other cheek. But see, this is not about fighting and destroying people. It's about overthrowing rulers of darkness here. Some of them are so far gone that they're going to be saying it all the way to hell. They're going to be announcing who the wrong king is all the way to hell. And then once you go there, it's too late. Too late. We can have no mercy on spirits of darkness. None. God even told his people in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant, that means peace treaties, with them or show mercy to them. We can always fight back by employing our spiritual weapons, and we will see the triumph. We are entering times of great victory. Yeah, you look around and say, really? Yeah, we're entering times of great victory. But see, we must be partnered with the Lord God Almighty. And we will see reversals. Now, I say it again, we will see reversals. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us in triumph. Always. There ain't no maybes, no nothing. It said always. Make sure who you partnered up with. Because, see, the devil will get in and play with your head and start making you doubt some things. Yeah. You just tell him to get out. Yeah. He might plant that seed, but you cast it out. You speak the word over it, and that seed will leave. Yeah. It won't take root because you ain't going to speak about it. You ain't going to talk about it. And it says, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Mm-hmm. Now, in Esther 9, we see the reversal for the Jews manifested fully. It says in verse 1, Esther 9, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. On the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to overpower and gain the mastery over them, the reversal came into effect. Instead, the Jews overpowered and gained mastery over all those who hated them. An entire nation was saved on that day. At that moment of crisis, God turned everything around for his people. We are living in a similar time of divine reversals right now. See, God is turning things around. See, but right there, it looked as though the Jews were headed for disaster. Okay, three-letter word, but. Yeah, but God turned it all around. And he is in a process of doing it again right now. Ain't nobody going to stop them till it's over and done with. God says, annihilate them. They are our enemies. It's so embedded into those people, the hatred that comes forth from their mouth, especially the leader. He's over here in a multi-million dollar complex living a life of Riley when his people are over here. He's got fighters that are dumb to know who they're fighting for. A guy over here that's having a good time, and they're over there on the front line. But what are they using? They got civilians that are standing in front of them as shields. And they're willing to do it. Hallelujah. Jesus. I just can't, sometimes I just don't understand that. I don't. But when you're bred that from birth. And you know what? That's going on in this nation. That kind of stuff is here. It's not being exposed and talked about enough. And look at who we've got representing us. Just look at who's been up there on the front line representing us. About that time they do something about them. Why are we letting them in there? Because we've been asleep too long. The people of this nation have had their eyes opened up. And some of them are stepping up and doing what they're supposed to be doing by running for office, but going in and casting their votes. If we go out in the masses and vote, they aren't going to be able to cheat that much. Can't. So don't sit back and say, I'm not going to go vote. No, you go vote. You go vote. And if you have to, you start writing letters. You start showing up at the council meetings, the school board meetings. There are things happening at them school board meetings that you need to be aware of. Get a copy of the agenda. Can you do that? Yeah, you can. Get a copy of it. See what's happening. God will give you the words to say. He'll give you the words to pen. And he will protect you. He will protect you. He's called us to fight, not to crawl up in a little bone, suck at them. That's not going to cut it. So as I say, he's turning things around, but he's turning them around for us personally too during this time. A lot of us are growing up in this time. Really? Yeah, we are. We're growing up. Because if not, we're going to be kicked to the side. And kicked in the, where. Because it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God is going to cause every curse and every assignment from hell to be turned right back around onto the head of the enemy. Well, we just saw how that happened here. to Haman. Turned it all around, dumped it right on his head. God's going to turn blessings or turn curses into blessings for us. So, amen? And that's because he loves us. In Esther, it describes the Jews, though, had a celebration upon the defeat of their enemies. It came about to be called the Feast of Purim. P-U-R-I-M. Purim. This is an annual feast. And you know what it is also called? The Holiday of Reversals. Now when you see it on your calendar, it makes a little difference. Huh? What is that Purim on the calendar? I have no idea. Well, that's what it is. It's a holiday of reversals. For the morning was turned to great joy for them. The decree of death and destruction was turned instead to a blessing and promotion. Uncle Mordecai was placed second in command to the king himself, was wearing the signet ring, and was held in high esteem by his fellow Jews. It's called favor. Are you getting it now? He and Esther, in their positions as of authority, had heightened potential to influence the future. She never used the favor for herself while she was promoted with favor. And Jesus, he came personally and defeated the decree of death and destruction over our lives. That, folks, is the ultimate turnaround. Yeah, he did that so that we can live in perpetual divine reversal. Yeah, I know. Just you got to think on it when it's said there for a moment. We can live in perpetual divine reversal. Do you believe that? That should be real strong. Yeah. You want to claim onto that. The gospel of Jesus Christ is truly a divine reversal story. When Satan nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, he thought he had won. But the greatest divine reversal in all of history was already in progress. Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. God had a plan. After 3 days, Jesus turned death to life and tragedy to victory, and he continues to do so today. Today. Jewish families celebrate the Feast of Purim by giving gifts to one another, by helping the poor, and recounting the story of Esther. Why do you think it's so important for them in their festivals? There's a meaning behind them. But it's interesting to note that the observance of Purim was outlawed in Nazi Germany during the reign of Hitler. The powerful story of God's deliverance of his people threatened the Nazi agenda. The Jewish people learned not to be silent and not to be tread upon by any enemy that comes against them, for they trust God. They have a thing that says, never again. After that Holocaust experience, never again. They realize they are God's people. They're not supposed to be quiet and silent. And they're demonstrating that. We got to let our kids, our grandkids know. Because they're being taught in the schools that Israel's the one at fault for all this. Yeah. We have not been involved in our schools enough, is what that tells us. So we got to get involved. Volunteer your time to go over and be part of our curriculum committee. Uh-huh. I did that for a while. It was interesting, some of the things we actually throwed out in Manaka. We the church, we must not be silent either. We're going to have to let our voices be heard. See, and we're not going to let the enemy tread upon us anymore. We need to start writing new decrees, decrees of victory. And we need to couple them with our prayers, especially when we have intercessory prayer. You hear us say, Thursday mornings, we have intercessory prayer. And that's what we do. We have that on Wednesdays. We don't come in here and go and turn the switch on. You build to that when we're here. But things happen. Things changed. And things will continue to change. Because when we pray, we believe, we
receive.
When you pray, believe that you receive. And you will have it. You pray, believe, you receive, you'll have it. I know you're going to get what I thought. Probably even by the time you get outside the door. And you know what? You said, no. I done prayed. It's mine. It's mine. It's like literally grabbing a hold of that book. You got it. And when somebody tries to take it off, don't you let it go. Don't you let it go. It'd be like Ace trying to take that bone off of him, right? It ain't happening, right? No. I see, you got a picture of Ace. I got a picture of my Cody years ago. I'm right, Therese? She gave him a big old bone. I mean, that thing had to have been about that big. And we were, okay, because that dog did not know how to chew food. He swallowed it whole. You know, so you couldn't give him a bone that he could chew. You can shut it off, guys. You know, unless they want to hear this. But Cody, she gave this, put it in a bowl and figured he'd be chewing on it. You know, he grabbed that big thing. That dog was only this big and the bone was this big. He grabbed it, put it up like this, couldn't even see his head, and he walked out to go onto her living room carpet to chew that bone. And she said, if you carried it that far, you deserve to eat it there.